Well, that program is elite.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Here we go. Make it do what it do.
Talking sports.
Gary, you got the Roger Staubach going tonight?
Oh, yeah. The GOAT.
Classic. The GOAT. You put him over Tom Brady?
The GOAT.
Oh, my God. He's got to go over Tom Brady. You should have a – where's the Randy White one, though, Gary?
Oh, I got a Randy White one. I don't have a Danny White, but I got a Randy White, the manster.
Oh, I probably butchered that. Oh, man.
What about Too Tall Jones?
Ed, no, you know, I used to have a Too Tall Jones, and it used to fit me.
That's funny.
Not anymore.
Hey, we are officially talking sports 12. Man, we got the three of us. I guess JQ is going to be joining shortly, too. But, you know, as always, we got to just excited to talk to some gentlemen on this March the 7th day, Tuesday. March is just kicking off. We got a lot of things to discuss here. Can't wait to talk about draft, talk about, again, the combine is over. We got to talk some NCAA stuff and, you know, all these things we got to get into. There's been a lot of interesting news here. And obviously call the show. The number to call the show is always the same number. It's 424-243-9519. That's the number. If I get myself together here, follow us on Twitter, obviously at the number 12 THMAN Sports, and we are on Facebook.com/TalkingSports for the 12th man. And Rob, we appreciate you posting another mock draft in there too as well. So we're gonna get to that, and we got to get this party started here. I was kind of stalling to get JQ on. But let's jump right into it. Let's check with the fellas. Gary, I'm going to start with you because I think maybe Rob is eating some asparagus or something like that. I don't know. So how are you feeling this evening?
You know what? I'm doing good. I'm kind of curious about something, though.
Go ahead.
I always look to see, you know, the backgrounds of our team and where they're at. And, of course, you know, Andre, you're in your usual spot in your office there. And I'm not making out where Rob is. Rob, I see that mural or painting or whatever it is in the background, kind of European flair. Is that at your house?
Yeah, in Atlanta.
Okay, you're in Atlanta. I like it. I like it. Kind of a Tuscany type of a feel of a painting. And that's what I'm drinking tonight is a little wine from Tuscany. So
nice.
I wanted to know about that, but I'm doing good. You know, today I had to pull out some of the pictures and stuff from Curtis's funeral and get them to someone, you know, get them to one of my coworkers that wanted them, and looking through all of them. And then Curtis, in the move, we found a whole bunch of we found, you know, like you've seen on different, like, HGTV where people find the old blueprints of their homes. Well, Curtis and I found the blueprints of his home in his attic when we were moving him out of his house. And I framed them up, and I'm going to take them over to the new owners of his house and give them to them. I'll just give you a little show and tell. It kind of looks something like this here. Of his home, and there's four of them there, the whole property line and everything. So anyway, I'm going to do that tomorrow. But So he's on my mind tonight.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Appreciate that, as always. Yeah, he's definitely
thoughts and prayers, definitely with you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. My wife lost a family member too, so it's just one of the things where you have to kind of grapple with a lot of that stuff too. So it's just you want to honor these people by, there's a great movie quote that talked about carry them with you, and no matter what you do. So that's something that we're going to always continue to carry courage with us in every our endeavors too. So just always good to be mindful of that too. So appreciate that, Gary, as always. Mr. Rob Ford, how's everything going in your world?
Man, doing great, man. No complaints, man. Ready to get this party started. You know, got that asparagus in tonight. So, you know, our brother feeling good.
Here we go.
Your inside to be blowing up, man.
Sometimes just the simple things in life.
Just the simple things, asparagus. Wow. All right, all good. Hey, so let's jump into this. Everything that's starting here. There's been an update on the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, and I guess we'll kind of kick off with that story, if you will. I'll let you go with that, Rob, because I know there's a tag that was applied to Mr. Jackson here, and obviously it's interesting because there was a lot of smoke and fire about the Falcons pursuing Lamar Jackson, a lot of other teams too, but it was really hard to paint too about us. But, you know, you kind of speak on that and kind of what this means next for the Ravens.
Yep. Well, obviously they placed a franchise tag on Lamar Jackson, the non-exclusive franchise tag too. And the Ravens are still pretty confident that he's going to wind up being a Raven. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing that's helping the Ravens right now is that there doesn't seem to be a lot of interest from teams around the league. You know, the report came out tonight that the Falcons will not pursue him. Another report that the Commanders are out. They're not going to pursue him. Another report that the Panthers are not going to pursue him. And so the Ravens are feeling pretty good about this and getting the deal done with Lamar at some point. I mean, this is a standstill. Obviously, you have to wonder if Lamar Jackson wants to play for the Ravens, how long this contract is taking. But now with more teams coming out saying they're not going to be interested in him, you know, I don't know what the Dolphins and the 49ers are saying here. But, you know, more and more teams that you thought were going to get in the game with Lamar Jackson are all coming out saying they're not interested. They're not going to go for him. I mean, you talk about the Falcons, the Commanders, and the Panthers, all quarterback-only teams have all come out and said they're not going to go after Lamar Jackson, which is quite surprising.
And I'm a little surprised with that, really. You know, he's getting, what, $35 million on the franchise tag? The thing I don't like about
that
is it? I thought that that's what it was, but maybe more than that. But I know it's less than several of these other quarterbacks that are, in my opinion, half the quarterbacks, you know, Kirk Cousins and, you know, Russell Wilson. And they had a list of five or six on an article that I was reading, and I thought, you know, that's kind of a slap in his face. And for me, if I were Lamar Jackson, I'd be playing hardball with him when they have no choice but to play hardball with me. And they're kind of playing with him right now. That's how I see it.
But I actually, you're right, Gary. It's actually less than $35 million. It's $32.4 million. It's a franchise non-exclusive, which he was placed on a non-exclusive tag. So it's actually $32.4 million for this year.
It's collusion.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, if he was exclusive, if they would have placed the exclusive tag on him, it would have been $45 million.
Yeah.
I personally think it's collusion because there's no way all the teams you just mentioned, and I'm sorry, everybody, I was a little late, had a hockey game, that you have Lamar Jackson in his prime as with an MVP on his resume that you say, nah, I'm good. Because you look at what you could have to offer to get him in a non-exclusive tag, how many first-round picks would you have to give a Lamar Jackson? It'd be more than two. right? So like the Falcons, you have all this cap space. Some of two first round picks where if you were trying to make that trade, he had a contract already signed with at least three, maybe even four, and some other players and some other swaps happening in there. Something's going on. That's a dirty pool, in my estimation. There's no way that everybody in the hip stop not named the bank who's just, got a car where you don't get them. If you're the Falcons, for example, you have an opportunity to have the best quarterback in that division by far, probably for the next 5 to 10 years, and you can sign other people to draft from rounds 2 to 7 after giving up two first-round picks. People act like you can't find talent in the second, third, fourth, fifth round. That's where most of your team is built. In the second, third, fourth, fifth round. They're talking about you don't want to give them that. And if you're going to get a quarterback in a free agency market or one you're going to draft, yeah, you can keep that cane down the road for a couple of years. But if that guy that you draft turns out to be that guy, you're going to have to give him the same amount of money that you're going to have to give Lamar Jackson right now. And you can win this NFC South right now with Lamar Jackson and with Kyle Pitts and Drake London and A.J. Terrell. Like, if you draft well and fill in on the edges with the money you have left over to cap space, I just don't understand it. Anything outside of it being collusion. So,
Rob, would you explain something to me? I want you to explain the difference between, these two different scenarios that he could have been in. He's making $32 million, you said. And if he were in an exclusive or whatever you said, then he would be at 45 or something. Explain the difference.
Exclusive versus a non-exclusive franchise tag.
Well, exclusive is the exclusive franchise tag means that no other team can negotiate with him. And that's the difference. Where he's a non-exclusive tag means other teams can negotiate with him. They can make an offer to him. And obviously they have to put in some value back to the Ravens, obviously. So the Ravens are comfortable letting him go to another team for the right price. I mean, that's basically what it tells you. They're not putting an exclusive tag on him. They're comfortable with letting him leave for the right price. And, I agree with JQ. I mean, you look at the Panthers, you look at the Falcons in the NFC South right now. I mean, you got a chance to catapult yourself not only in the division but the conference. You look at the NFC as a whole. I mean, you're the number of quarterbacks, the number of elite quarterbacks. I mean, you might can count them on one finger. I mean, not let alone one hand, one finger. Not many in the NFC. Yeah, exactly. And so there's not many in that conference. And it doesn't make any sense to me. It's the Commanders, the Panthers, and the Falcons, but it's not. To me, there's got to be something there of why they're not going after them. And I think the Ravens knows it.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because Cleveland had the poison pill contract with Deshaun Watson and the guaranteed money for everything on a quarterback. And they were like, we were trying to steer everybody away from giving anybody a fully guaranteed contract of that kind of level. Because Kirk Cousins got one, and everybody's like, oh, Kirk Cousins got this. And then Deshaun Watson is like, we don't want to make this the norm. And that's where the NFL is. We don't want to be the NBA. We don't want to be baseball. We don't want to have certain contracts be fully guaranteed where we can't get away from them. And I think they have just galvanized themselves as the owners of like, okay. Cleveland was desperate, and they made a desperate move to Deshaun Watson, but we're not going to allow their desperation to dictate how we do business moving forward. And I think that's what you have to see play out with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, it's tough, JQ. Being a Falcon fan, it's one of those things where, I mean, I've been on both sides of the fence, man. One side of me is like, if you want the Falcons to be relevant, here you have, a formal MVP, and like you said, it's hard to get that type of talent, at only 26 years old, right? And then everyone's scared about the fact that we just got out of cap hell. We're going to go right back into it. And they're like, well, I don't think we're going to go back into it. We're going to spread that contract out. But I think they are fearful of just what that money is going to look like. On the second half of it, you have the people that do think that Lamar Jackson is kind of, he's definitely injury prone, if you will. Like, he's running into that situation where this is kind of his feeling. He's reached that, right? And there's more injuries coming to play because he is kind of that physical kind of quarterback. He's not sliding and stuff like that. So they are thinking that this is kind of like his peak, if you will. So, you know, I don't know. It's one of those situations where I battled, man. I'm going to be good, you know, because you have a guy that definitely idolized Michael Vick. So you have that excitement coming back, right? His jerseys would sell. The Falcons would be more relevant. We get more games. But then you said the cap space size, the other thing too. So then you want to build a team, you know, because if you build a solid defense and get a solid team, we could be a little further along. But it's a tough call, man. I've been on both sides of that fence trying to figure out the best option for us, man. But I agree, there's definitely something wrong. And Lamar Jackson played it, you know, he learned his lesson, right? He's like, hey, I'm going to bet on myself. He ended up getting hurt, and that's why he wants the guaranteed contract. That's why we are where we are, right? So that's where he's trying to play hardball. And this is kind of tough for both sides, you know.
I really think it's Atlanta playing along with the other owners. If that wasn't the case, because you got to remember, Atlanta was all in on Deshaun Watson, too, until Cleveland came in with the whole fully guaranteed contract, and they blew everybody away. I really think it's Atlanta playing like, hey, man, we're playing with the other owners because we don't want to set this precedent and have it. Because once you set the precedent, you have multiple guaranteed contracts going for the term of the deal. Then it's hard to unring that bell, right? So I think that's where they are with it. And they're trying to – because it makes perfect sense for Atlanta, but they're playing the game with all the other owners. Yeah. And I think that's really what it comes down to, me personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess this is a question for Andre and maybe you as well, JQ, the founder of the Falcons. And, I mean, just it sounds as though the Falcons are not even in on any quarterback here in the first round of the draft, too, at number eight. They are a position where they can get one of the top four quarterbacks in this draft. Are they that sold on Desmond Ridder right now?
If they are, they're stupid.
That's your boy. They're doing the due diligence, I would say. I mean, unless something, you know, happens, I agree. I mean, we know how JQ feels about Anthony Richardson. I mean, that dude just – he's definitely a project. I mean, unless a Stroud or like a – which is not even going to happen, or Bryce Young, this is – there's not a quarterback worth getting in that, you know, because, again, you're in the eighth position. You got to get the best player at that. Yeah, but yeah. But, so that's where I'm thinking in. Right now, Ridder, they're saying all the right things about Ridder, right? You know, they said, hey, maybe they're going to build a team around him, build a solid defense, get him some weapons, just kind of Kenny's leaning on that run game. There's some rumors about, you know, Derrick Henry getting cut. Saquon's out there. I mean, who knows, man? This could be an interesting offseason for us, too, as well. Man. So I'm thinking a couple options.
Saquon
too, man. Can you imagine
Saquon
that?
Got hit with the franchise tag. So Saquon got hit with the franchise tag once the Giants. Once the Giants agree with that 4-year deal with Daniel Jones. So, but if you're the Falcons, do you want to sit there and do that and say, have Ridder, and he comes out there and, listen, I want Ridder to do well. I'm a Cincinnati person. He went to UC. But if he's terrible, you got a chance to go get you a Lamar Jackson, or you pass him on some of these other quarterbacks that end up maybe doing all right that I'm not truly high on, and you kept Ridder, then you keep perpetuating the whole Falcons can't get right kind of mentality. When you have a chance to be bold and aggressive, you can't go get Lamar Jackson outside of the situation. If Lamar Jackson was signed for 5 years, however many million dollars, right, and for whatever reason, him and Baltimore got at odds with each other, you couldn't get Lamar Jackson for two first-round picks. You couldn't. It would take at least three and some other things to have happen for you to get him. So to go to get Lamar for only two first-round picks, it has to be collusion.
Yeah.
There's no way. He's an MVP.
Yeah.
He's an MVP at 26 with an MVP already on his resume. And you're in a division where if you get him, you by far and away have the best quarterback. You say, nah, I'm good. To me, something else is in play.
I agree with that. Yeah. It's troubling. But, yeah, very troubling. Well, everyone said, they're saying this stuff, Rob, about Disney. You're muted, Gary. Gary? I'm calling back in. There we go. I got you, Gary. My bad. Go ahead.
Okay. That's all right. You know, with the amount of cap space that Atlanta has as well, I mean, you've got, what, $68 million in cap space, the second most, you know, in the NFL. I mean, And you could, if you could get in for two first-round picks, you got the best quarterback in the division. You got an opportunity to go pick up a few weapons around him.
Yep.
That to me is something's fishy. Something's fishy on that. Colin was talking about that on the show earlier today about the cap space and then these teams pulling away. And it'd be one thing if, because there's always one team that'll pull away from any quarterback deal, or there usually is. But to have all of them pull away like they've done,
all of them.
That's where.
Yeah.
That's fishy to me.
Yeah.
You know.
And you know, every move in the NFL doesn't. I mean, some work out, some don't, right? But you got to give you chances. You got to give you chance, a fighting chance, right? But you have to at least go for it. Yeah, you don't know if it's going to work out, but you got to at least give yourself a chance. And
yes.
Standing pat typically does not give yourself a chance to fight, right? So if you're going to be in the game, you got to go for it. You got to take a chance. You got to take a chance or 10, not just one. If you're going to be in it, you got to take a chance or 10, right? You can't just stand there and sit back and think you're going to be able to win a championship that way. You got to go for it. It may or may not work out, but the only way to get it is you got to go for it.
Great.
The teams that we've seen do that, you know, now the Rams are in, you know, cap space purgatory hell, but they also went all in and got themselves a championship. So that's
correct.
A classic example of a team not standing pat, going and get the pieces that they need, and bringing in that for their fan base, for their organization.
Yeah.
You know, my team is a classic example of a team that tries to play it safe and stay, you know, let's stand pat. Let's hope everybody else gets worse. And that's not what happens.
So y'all put that franchise tag on Tony Pollard.
Yeah.
The Rams are like, F those draft picks. We don't care. Rob, let's talk about Derek Carr and the Saints, man.
Hey, same thing with the Saints, you know. We don't know if this move is going to work out or not, but at least you're giving yourself a chance. You're at least attempting to do something. And,
yeah.
And you know, based on where the Saints are picking, they're picking number 29th in the draft. You weren't going to get one of the elite quarterbacks. And based on what was available to him, you know, he was the best free agent quarterback available to him. And obviously we have a few teams competing for him. The Saints was in on him early. Dennis Allen drafted him in Oakland. So they had a little bit of a relationship there. But, I don't know if it's going to work out, but I commend them for at least going for it. And now you got to put the pieces around them. You got to put an offensive line around them, maybe get another weapon or two, you know, around them as well. And, you know, I think a few weeks ago, JQ made an interesting point that, hey, Derek Carr, the best defense he ever had with Oakland was 14th overall, and they made the playoffs that year. Other than that, his other 8 years with Oakland, his defense was 19th or worse. So what that tells you, if you're the New Orleans Saints, you got to put a good defense around him and give him a chance to be a winner. And so that's going to be key, to put some weapons. Obviously, Olave showed some promising signs last year. The rookie from San Diego State who was undrafted, Rashid Shaheed, turned out to be a huge surprise with his speed. And so you got a couple of good weapons there. You need at least one more. And we don't know what's going to happen with Alvin Kamara. He may not ever play in the NFL again and with this possible suspension. And so you're going to have to get them. And I think even with Kamara, the Saints need another running back. You got to have more than one. So you're going to have to shore up their running back position, maybe get some depth on that offensive line too.
Well, does Carr get? Carr gets $60 million guaranteed, right?
actually 100 million guaranteed. He got 4 years, 150 million with 100 guaranteed.
With 100 guaranteed? 4 years?
Yeah, the 60 was a signing bonus.
Okay.
And that's the key. And
how the Saints do this with all the salary cap they already in?
Yeah,
I'm trying to
figure
out. Hey, you know what? That he's worth it though. With where you were drafted, just like you said, with where you were drafting, he's well worth it. Well worth the risk.
You can manipulate that signing bonus to prorate it over some years, and the Saints are great at manipulating the salary cap. So you got to give them a lot of credit. When you see that, you have to take everything with a grain of salt because the Saints don't just do shit just to do it. Like they have a plan about it, and it's again for the Saints. You talked about it. He's never had a for real defense. Now he goes to a team with a defense that he's just been better than all the defenses he's ever had with the Raiders, right? And he no longer has Justin Herbert. He no longer has Patrick Mahomes. He's been out there where the Falcons won't go get Lamar Jackson. They got Ritter. We don't know who Trask might be in Tampa. We don't know who Carolina's going to have. He has a chance to go out there with some weapons and a defensive coach that can, that don't have to. He don't have to put 35 points up every week. And go out there and get him a division title or two. That's a great move for Carr. It's a great move for the Saints in the short term. He's the ultimate bridge quarterback right now. I'm not saying he's going to be a quarterback for the next 10 years, but for right now, in the state of the NFC South, what's happening with all the other teams, that's a great move if you're the Saints. I'm not mad about it at all. I think it's a really good, personally.
Yeah, and when you look at the, like we talked about earlier, even when you look at the quarterbacks, not only in the division, but the entire conference up in the NFC. And even when, in the whole time when the Jets and the Saints and the Panthers and the Colts were all competing for them, I'm thinking, man, why would you go to the Colts or the Jets when you got Patrick Mahomes in the AFC, you got Joe Burrow in the AFC, Lamar Jackson currently is in the AFC, Justin Herbert's in the AFC. I'm like, man, why, Josh Allen and them, like, why would you even go consider the Jets and the Colts? I mean, I could see you possibly considering the Panthers, because the Panthers have some pretty good players on that team.
They
just don't have a quarterback.
Yep.
That's the missing piece right now. They just don't have a quarterback. And so I could realistically see him, but obviously Frank Wright coming from the Colts, I think he's got an opportunity at the ninth pick to get a young quarterback, and I think they want to go that route. And I think they're in a position to possibly move up. They're probably going to have to move up to secure one of these top four QBs. But I think that's the route that the Panthers want to go. They want to get at one of these young quarterbacks and develop. And they may have to start Sam Darnold another year while this quarterback, you know, is getting ready to play.
You got to start
that
careful.
Yeah, but if you're Derek Carr, I mean, why would you even consider going to the AFC with all those quarterbacks over there?
Agreed.
Right.
I'm all for it. Please go to the NFC. But I feel like Carolina is going to why can't I remember his name? The quarterback from Ole Miss they drafted, and he got hurt in preseason. He missed
Corral?
The whole year.
Corral.
Yeah.
Yep.
You owe it to yourself to see if he can be that guy. But, you know, if I'm a free agent quarterback or, you know, looking – the NFC South is where I'm talking about going. That's a division that can be had where you can go if you develop yourself and ingrain yourself in the culture – and be that guy. You can own that division right now. So I'm with you. Derek Carr looked around and said, yeah, why am I doing this in the AFC East? I'm not doing that. I'm going to go to the NFC South. I'm going to give you some of this gumbo and some of this shrimp etouffee and play in New Orleans and win this division and get a home playoff game in the Superdome and say, yep, I told you I was that dude and feel like you proved everybody else wrong. I told you weeks ago I thought this was a great fit for him and the Saints, and nothing has changed my opinion on it. Only thing that would change my opinion is if the Falcons don't go get Lamar Jackson.
The thing that I would say is with Carr, you know, I can think of Hurts. He's a better quarterback.
Yeah.
Who else is a better quarterback than he is in the NFC?
Well,
I don't think Dak Prescott is.
Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think any of them.
Aaron Rodgers is going to the Jets. Aaron Rodgers is going to be
Aaron Rodgers, you know what? I don't even say Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers is, you know, he's going to go sit in the dark somewhere.
Listen, he's still a Green Bay Packer, and he's still a better quarterback. Now, we can have this conversation once Aaron Rodgers moves, and we can talk about it then. But at the present time, Aaron Rodgers is still a better quarterback. So I'll give you Jalen Hurts, and I'll give you
Aaron Rodgers as a Jet is not a better quarterback.
No, I'm saying
Aaron
Rodgers
be in the NFC, though.
Aaron Rodgers as a Packer is still a better quarterback right now. Now, I'm not saying that Aaron Rodgers stays with Green Bay because, of course, we have no idea how that's going to turn out. But if we're just going to look at the landscape of the NFC as it's currently constructed today, he's still a Green Bay Packer, and he's still a better quarterback with that organization. So I'll give you Jalen Hurts one, Aaron Rodgers two, and after that, it's wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would still put Aaron Rodgers slightly ahead of him. But I will say I think Aaron Rodgers is on the decline based on what we saw this past year and at his age. So, you know, we'll have to see. But I still would put him slightly ahead of Carr, even at this stage of his career. But, yeah, when you look at the rest of the conference, I mean, with Daniel Jones, Kirk Cousins, you know, they might be in the same realm with Derek Carr. You know, I can't say that they're better than Derek Carr, but they're probably in the same realm with Derek Carr. I mean, but you mean the Commanders going with Sam Howell and the Panthers, Sam Darnold. You mentioned it. The Buccaneers, Kyle Trask. We don't know what the 49ers are going to have. And you might put Geno Smith in that realm, too, with Carr, Cousins, and Daniel Jones. That's just up for 1 year yet. So you might consider putting Geno Smith.
No, you don't. Stop it.
Man, this is crazy. You look at the landscape of the NFC like you talked about, JQ, and, you know, the Cardinals got questions at quarterback, and, you know, Kyler Murray, you know, he's going to be hurt. You know, what's happening with Matthew Stafford, that's still up in the air. We've already talked about NFC South. You know, Justin Fields is still a young guy. Jared Goff, you know, that's still up in the air. And then you look at Vikings, talked about Kirk Cousins, and then Daniel Jones is re-signed with the Giants. And then you got to show some love for Dak Prescott a little bit. But, you know, that's probably the third quarterback, if you will, looking at the NFC South. But it's just a weak side for sure, man. Wow.
The fact you could make a strong argument for Derek Carr, and I mean, and again, I still think it's a great sign up for the Saints. Don't get me wrong, but the fact that you have Derek Carr a legitimate conversation is him being the third best quarterback in the conference, not in his division, in the conference says a whole lot about the NFC.
Yep.
Geno Smith. Let's talk about him.
Yeah,
Geno Smith just signed. Go ahead, Rob. Sorry.
Oh, Geno Smith.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that real quickly. I don't know if he had a thought. I know he just signed his 3-year, the $105 million. I was going to talk about that in Gary as well, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I think it was a good move for the Seahawks. It was the right thing to do. Now they got two first-round picks. Their defense was horrible last year. Now they can utilize those two first-round picks and focus on their defense. Hey, the offensive line was improved last year, and that really helped Geno Smith, too. Geno Smith was able to get the ball down the field a lot. He had a high completion percentage. He had the weapons on the perimeter. Kenneth Walker has proven to be a proven back. Seattle needs to improve that defense. And obviously they can attack it in the free agency, but also they can attack it in the draft here too. And, I mean, they got the 5th overall pick, and they got the 20th pick in the draft. So they can really, and Pete Carroll's had a lot of success, you know, drafting his defensive players over the years. So, I mean, if they can do this right here, they can come right and get two impact players on defense. And my latest mock draft, I have picking up Tyree Wilson.
They taking up the risk.
Well, Pete, with Pete Carroll,
I got him taking Tyree Wilson, the edge rusher from Texas Tech at number 5. And I got him taking Kelee Ringel, cornerback from Georgia at number 20. So right there, you can get two players that can potentially come in and help your football team out from day one.
You know, we were all talking about Russell Wilson going to Denver, and, you know, and who knows, he may still work out with the head coach he's got now. But as it stood last season, man, he sucked. He sucked horribly. He just fell off. He just jumped off of a cliff, and Pete Carroll knew it. And he gets, he's got Geno Smith that really balled out. I mean, you know, almost 4,300 yards, 30 TDs, 11 picks, quarterback rating of almost 101. I mean, he deserves the contract he got. Now let's see if he can back it up with you know, he resurrected his career. Let's see if he can back it up with another, you know, earn this contract that he's got now.
What I say about Seattle is that when I watch Pete Carroll, I feel like Pete Carroll still operates a lot in that college USC mode. And he talks about it, like where he got into a problem with that Seattle team is because they got so good, and it wasn't a bad thing, but it was like he got so established with the people on the team that he didn't have that luxury, not luxury, but that piece of it that he wants, where he wants to have that 3 to 4 year turnover where dudes come in and matriculate through and they graduate and he can start over again. I feel like you see the contract 3 years, shots to Geno for getting his money, but you look at it for the 3 years, I really feel like he's going to get Anthony Richardson to say, hey, he's my quarterback of the future for the next 10 years, probably outside of that. I'm going to stay with Geno to help stabilize the organization, but I'm looking to the next thing. The same way that he had good running backs, but he took Kenneth Walker when he didn't have to take Kenneth Walker, but he took him. Turned out to be a good pick, but he's looking to turn it over and keep that program in his mind, the program, not an NFL organization, but a program, like you referred to it, college team, to keep it turned over. So I feel like he's going to take Anthony Richardson, because everything I read is that they really kind of like bonded and synced up during this combine process. So I hear what you're saying, Rob. I think he uses that second pick on a defensive player, but I think he goes quarterback with that first one and says, okay, Geno,
wow,
you resurrected your career here. You give me a couple good years. We'll see where it is. I don't have to rush this young dude now, but once you get past this contract, depending on where you are, now do I give you another big contract, or do I have this dude that's back here competing that I drafted who shattered all these, you know, physical attributes and everything he did at the combine, and now I give him the keys to the kingdom and I'll let you move on. So I really feel like that's what Seattle is doing. It's really weird. I feel like Derek Carr is a bridge quarterback. I feel like Geno Smith is a bridge quarterback, where they're like, okay, we know we don't have those young guns that the AFC has. How do I get to that next level with those young guns? Okay, give me this vet right here that can help stabilize this, help us make a playoff push, keep us legitimized, and then move forward with our young guns in 2 to 3 years, because we can't compete with the young guns that are out there right now. So this is the way we do it. We get this guy here. He can help us right now, help us move on, and then we get the young gun to come behind him. So I hear what you're saying. That pie in the sky is great. If you feel like Geno is 3 years and you were signing for another 3 years, another two, and you're like, okay, now you look up and Geno's there for 8 years in Seattle. I don't know if I see that happening. I feel like Geno keeps the magic run going for a couple of years, and then he puts in the young dude and says, go ahead and get him, Blair.
What if, like, Anthony Richardson is the guy right there? What if he takes, like, one of the high-ceiling guys and just that dude, man? What if something like that happened? That would be pretty interesting, right? You don't have to start that dude with kind of
– You don't have to rush
like
him.
That.
That's,
yeah,
yes.
That's probably
and I think
best.
I think that's where Pete is. I really do. I think that's where Pete is. But you're right, though, Rob. He's got to get defense. I think further on in the draft, in those other rounds, he hits the defense. But I think he goes early for the quarterback, hits defense in that second first-round pick, and then goes and fills in those gaps around the edges.
Yeah.
Offensive line defense.
You can definitely see that. But, yeah, I think they're missing out on an opportunity to be really competitive this year. I mean, I think they have a chance to really compete with the 49ers in that division if they can improve that defense.
No,
Geno Smith,
you do
quarterback
not.
Position.
Stop it.
Oh,
no,
yes,
you don't.
I do. I do. Hey.
Okay,
hey.
So.
Did
hold,
you see
hold on, hold on, hold on.
Defense last year?
I did.
Did you see who the Saints had at quarterback this past year? You see how many points
Listen.
The Saints scored on Seattle? With Andy Dalton?
Do you
want
to. Jamal Adams is still
do,
hurt, though.
You,
he's still hurt, though.
Do you want to make, yeah. Do you want to make a bet that San Francisco beats Seattle, whatever they do in this draft, both games this year?
Well, no, I'm not going to make a bet because I don't know who they're going to pick and what's going to happen in free agency. So, I mean,
okay.
Today is March 7th. I mean, the season starts in September, so I'm not making no bets.
Okay, so we will revisit this conversation after the draft and after the first two waves of free agency pass by. I just don't believe that Seattle can get enough in free agency and in the draft to compete with San Francisco this year or next year, personally. I think Seattle's playing for a wild card at best in that division. They're not going to be San Francisco. I just don't see that happening.
Yes.
They're not in the same boat where the Saints are in the NFC South, where they can make a couple moves and just vault themselves to the top and take over the NFC South. San Francisco is a whole monster in the NFC West. I just don't think that's possible, even re-signing Geno and going defense, 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 defense. I just don't think it's enough for them to overtake the roster that San Francisco has.
Yeah, but yeah, as of March 7th, I totally agree with you. March 7th, 2023, if you had to ask me who's going to win the division, I would clearly say the 49ers. No doubt about it.
I'm going to say that in August 7th.
My point is they have an opportunity to improve their roster to somewhat bridge that gap, in my opinion. And,
I will hold the same bet on August 7th.
I'm making notes about this bet. JQ and Rob.
Yes, making notes.
Hey, I didn't got no. I didn't make any bets. I did. You. Nobody heard me say I think Seattle is going to be the better team in the division. I say they need to bridge the gap. And today is March 7th, but they have an opportunity to improve their roster to bridge the gap. I mean, right now on March 7th, there's no doubt about it. The 49ers are a better team.
They're going to be a better team for the next couple of years. That's why I say you might as well go. If you got Geno to bridge the gap in terms of the quarterback, if you feel like that Anthony Richardson is that dude, then you might as well swing through the fences for 3 years down the line to where you can actually have a honest conversation about could you beat San Francisco in that division in 3 years. I think for the next 2 years, they have no shot at unseating San Francisco with Geno and just going all defense and even doing defense in free agency. I just don't think they can do enough in the next 2 years to make that happen.
What are you telling Geno Smith if you draft a quarterback right there? What are you telling him? You just paid the guy.
They're not
going to
draft a quarterback. That's not going to happen. I will bet you that they don't take their first pick and draft a quarterback.
If they sign Geno to 3 years, $30 million, then I'm like, okay, yeah, they're not sold on him. But when you give a guy 3 years, $105 million, and then you go out and draft another quarterback in the first round, what are you telling Geno here? I mean, don't pay those guys 3 years, $105 million, and then go out and draft the first-round pick. Spend the first-round pick on a quarterback after paying Derek Carr. The Giants are going to spend a first-round pick after paying Daniel Jones. So what are you telling Geno Smith here if you go out and draft a quarterback here after you just gave him $105 million?
This is how I'll flip that question back to you. If I felt like Geno was my guy, I would be pressing so much harder for more than 3 years on a deal because I want Geno locked up for as long as I can keep Geno locked up for if I felt like he was that guy to keep me for the next 5 to 10 years. The 3-year deal for a quarterback right now means that, yeah, I like you, but I don't love you. And you did a good job this past year, but let's revisit this conversation in a couple of years because we also know that it's funny money and you get a year or two into it and you look into restructure or extend the contract. So my thing to that is, though, if you have that guy, I want 5-6 years. I want as long as I can get you for, and I'll worry about everything else later if you're that guy at quarterback, because if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance. When I see a 3-year deal for a quarterback, I see I like you, but I don't love you.
Well, I like you, but I don't love you contract is what the Saints gave Jameis Winston last year. 2 years, $28
million. I see a whole bunch of classes. I mean, this might work out, but I can still walk away. Like, that's just ridiculous. There's 2 years to think. That's not even a like. That's lukewarm.
No, that's really not even a like. I don't want to go out to lunch. I don't want to go out to lunch with you, but would you like to meet for coffee sometime?
Yeah. Hey, you know what it is?
But
I got a boot thing on. I got a boot thing on Valentine's Day. I take it on February 15th. I ain't gonna take it on February 14th though. But I take it on February 15th. Mm-hmm. I take it on Side Chick Day. But I ain't gonna take it on the Main Chick Day. Right. That's what that is.
But think about it. I mean, they were paying Jameis to be their starting quarterback at 2 years, $28 million. That told you right there they weren't completely sold on it. He had to prove it.
Agreed.
But 3 years, $105 million versus 2 years, $28 million is a big difference. Seattle is saying, now I understand what you're saying. They're not giving him the length of the contract, but they're at least giving him on par close to, what is that, $30 million a year? Math on there. Yeah, $33, $35 million a year. So you're saying,
and JQ, what you're not really what you're not figuring out is the ownership of the Seahawks. You know, you don't have Paul Allen there anymore. You got Jody Allen, and she's kind of tight with the purse.
Yeah, she's tight because she knows Geno ain't that dude. She's tight with that purse because she knows Geno ain't Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen and all them. We can move on. I'm just saying that's my own. I'm just saying that's my own personal opinion.
We're not saying Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes.
No. I mean, we all smart enough to know that that's not the case. I'm only saying that your Jameis Winston piece is, I wouldn't even put that in a light conversation like Gary just said. Like, there's tears to it, right? There's a love, there's a like, and there's a, I got to have somebody start under center. And that just kind of feels like Jameis was a, well, damn, I got to have somebody. So I'll give him this little piece to kind of just move on. Like, they like Geno. They like Geno a lot, but they don't love him. New Orleans was like, we'll give Jameis a chance to prove himself, but I'm not going to put him in a light conversation. He got to work himself up to like. So there's tears to it is what, all I'm trying to say about it. But if Geno was that guy, and I'm like, man, Geno just showed me everything I needed to see that. I need him for the next 10 years. I don't know if I'm Seattle if I settle for 3 years. That's my only point to where I won't say that they can't go get a quarterback in the draft this year and with that pick in the first round, the first one.
Hey, if they do, I'll be the first one to say you were right. But, that's, man, if I'm running that organization, you know, I'm taking my chances based off I'm taking my chances at a shot at this year with giving Geno some more help and improving that defense and giving yourself a shot here. You know, you got a chance to get a real impact player at number five, somebody that can come in and help your organization right away.
No, I hear you. And again, if I'm wrong as well. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just going to say no. And the only thing to add more fuel to that fire is because the fact that why Geno's contract is interesting and because you gave Daniel Jones a 4-year, $160 million contract if you're the Giants. So you're like, whoa. That's just another something. And I don't know if
that is
Daniel Jones. Yeah, you know, so. Yeah.
That's also ignorant.
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I know you do.
Of course,
that's an ignorant ass contract that I would have never gave Daniel Jones.
Yeah,
you're
but
saying,
hey,
you think Daniel Jones is better than Geno? What the hell? I mean, but
no, yeah. I'm saying I would have never gave Daniel Jones that contract. I was like, whoa, really?
I would give him that
Daniel
contract
Jones?
Either.
Okay.
I would give him the contract either. That's what
yeah.
I'm saying. That's another thing. That's that you're like, what the hell, right?
What?
But I digress.
Well, what are you gonna do if you're the Giants? What are you gonna do if you're the Giants? Let them go?
They messed up because I would have franchised his ass. And I would have franchised him and let him prove it. And I would have said, Saquon, I love you. This is our number. If you can go get it somewhere else, then God bless. And I would have went and got me Bijan Robinson from Texas or somebody like that in the draft. If I'm the Giants, that's what I would have done.
All right, guys.
But it's not a given
that
you're
going to
get a Bijan Robinson.
40 minutes.
I'm just saying.
Should we be concerned about Bryce Young and his height? You know, because you know, on the Alabama website, he's listed at 6 foot, but the NBA, the NFL Combine, he was 5'11". You know, so
think 5'10".
He was 5'10".
Yeah,
5'10"
and 1'8".
Was it 5'10"? Hold on.
Yeah.
I tried to give an extra inch. My bad. You know, here's,
yes, you did.
Yeah.
Come on, the answer is yes.
Short man complex over here. Yeah, okay, go ahead. Yes, there's a problem. Oh,
yes,
man.
The answer is yes.
5'10" and 1'8".
Absolutely.
The problem is that everybody's still chasing Drew Brees, and he's the outlier, right? You look at Tua getting banged up. You looked at Baker Mayfield not being who anybody thought. Well, I didn't think he was going to be that guy, necessarily be that guy. But and then Kyler Murray having problems. Like the shorter quarterbacks that get drafted higher up don't have a great track record right now. So there is some concern, but, I mean, he's proven against elite competition in the SEC that he can be that guy. But this is the NFL we're talking about, so maybe he is the outlier. Maybe he is a Drew Brees type. Like, he can move around. He doesn't necessarily have to run and get hit like, you know, some of the other smaller rushing quarterbacks. Like, he likes to move around the pocket to throw the ball. He's not moving around to run. He's moving around to throw the ball, and he has incredible accuracy. So,
yes,
his height – and his weight does have some issues when you take it in that high, and it's one of those conundrums that you have to deal with. But the same way that Drew Brees went with the first pick in the second round, I think it was.
Second round. Yep, first pick in the second round.
in that draft, but I feel like everybody's still chasing that Drew Brees kind of thing of, man, if I miss on that dude, I'm not going to lose my job because he's shown it on tape. And he's shown it on tape, not in the WAC or nonsense conference. Like, he showed it in the SEC, arguably the best conference football-wise that we have.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that I don't have to make that decision as a GM, to be honest with you. But, of course, his size is going to give you a little bit to be like, is he going to be able to hold up? Is he going to be able to be that? Is he going to be able to be Drew Brees? And he's not the same kind of quarterback. Don't get me wrong, because Drew Brees is no way near as athletic as Bryce Young is. But in terms of his stature and taking that high, you know, when you have other prototypical type quarterbacks that are right around him, if you don't take one of them and he flames out, then you have to deal with the fallout for that as a GM. So they got their work cut out for him in this draft if you want to take him, if you need a quarterback. So I'll leave it to you guys to talk about it. But, yeah, it's
same
tough.
Size.
Yeah,
same size as
tough.
Kyler Murray, and he's an inch shorter than Russell Wilson, but Drew Brees is actually 6 foot, by the way. Just a little FYI. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, well, I think the thing with Bryce Young here, JQ made some valid points there. And, it is something that you have to be concerned about as a GM. But you got to look at the overall picture, right? His accuracy. Yeah, he's definitely the most accurate quarterback in this draft. He's got the quarterbacking skills. You look at the way he steps up in the pocket and makes throws. He's got good presence in the pocket. He's great on the bootlegs as well. And he's got it between the ears when you really look at it, too. His decision-making is better than any quarterback in this draft right now. You can make a case that Stroud is right there with him. But I got him going number one overall. I got Houston in my latest mock trading up to number one to make sure they get him and get him in his quarterback. So, yes, there's some concerns. There's probably some concerns and weaknesses with every player in this draft. By the way, this is not the strongest draft. This is one of the weaker drafts we've had in quite some time, other than the cornerback position, the edge rushers in this draft. Those are two positions of strength. But overall, this is a weak draft. So there's some things that you can probably nitpick about every single player in this draft. And these evaluators just got to trust their gut. But overall quarterbacking skills, Bryce Young has that. But there will be some concern. It's going to be up to you as a general manager to make sure you put the pieces around him, make sure you get him the protection, make sure you get him in the rollout situations quite often on the bootleg, you get him out of the pocket, get him away from pass rush to protect his body. It's going to be up to you. You know, a guy like a Shanahan will be a classic offensive coach for him, right? And so that's what you're going to have to do in order to protect him. I know D'Amico Ryans with Houston, I know he brought over some personnel from San Francisco, the coach on the offensive side of the football. Hopefully that's going to help him, but they're going to have to get the pieces around him to protect him.
Well, what's his background? Does he have any, like Russell Wilson, what really saved Russell Wilson for so many years is that baseball background. He always knew exactly when to slide, how to slide, and then he was mobile in the pocket as well. So I would look at what kind of background he has.
That's not.
You know, and if that's the case, you know, because the guy that size, that is concerning. He may be the most accurate, but, you know, when he's on the run and he's got defensive linemen that are just as fast or almost as fast as he is, and when they're going to come down, they're going to be landing on him and they're 100 pounds heavier than he is.
Yeah, you're going to have to
that's
have
an issue.
I think as a general manager and as an offensive staff, you're going to have a good plan for him. You're going to have a good vision for the player in order for him to be successful, right? And I think that's what it's going to come down to. You know, what's your vision for the player? How are you going to protect him? How are you going to prolong his career? So you have to have a vision. You have to have a plan in place for him. And these evaluators are going to have to trust their gut. With this particular player, but you can nitpick just like JQ nitpicks about Anthony Richardson. You're going to nitpick about everything. You can nitpick about every single player in this draft. Even the quarterbacks. I mean, you look at, you know, we talk about Bryce Young and his size, but we talk about how Anthony Richardson is a project. and Anthony Richardson for all of his physical twos, when you turn on a game tape, you're like, whoa, he's just not there at the quarterback just yet. Other than one game from last year. I mean, when you turn on the game tape, you're like, wow, he's not there yet. He's a guy that's got all the physical twos that probably may have to sit a year or two before he's ready to play in the NFL. And you look at Will Levis. I know Will Levis obviously was, you know, Will Levis had some injury issues last year, right? But you look at his tape for junior season, man, the ball's just flying out of his hands. But you also have to question some of his decision making, right? So you can nitpick about every single quarterback in this draft, every single player in this draft. So as an evaluator, you're just going to have to go with, you know, what you trust the most and what your vision is for the player.
CJ going to be the best.
Yeah,
someday we're going to evaluate the ratings. We need to start evaluating the evaluators. That'd be a beautiful thing to see. look, man, being in the pocket is not more safe than a rushing quarterback. Like, this is an old relic from the past that we still think exists. The reality of it is, as JQ knows very well, pocket quarterback can get injured and knocked out for the season in his rookie year in the pocket because things is so, you know, it's so much mayhem there. So being a running quarterback doesn't change anything. At this point, it's kind of expected. And to me, anybody who's not mobile should not even be discussed. Like, you'd have to be really, really good at process reads and just have a crazy arm to not be mobile in today's game. Shout out to Daniel Jones. Remember what Big Boy said in that movie? Yeah, man. You know this is grown folk business, right? He is expected to run for 500 yards and 5-plus touchdowns per season. Daboll and company did not roll that money out for him to not be putting himself out there like he did last year running the ball. So that's where the money came from for Daniel Jones. It was the expected rushing ability. And look, man, we got to remember, back in the day, they didn't even consider some of these smaller quarterbacks. So that skews the data to the point to where we're just now getting them filtered in, and judging them by one-offs is not going to tell us anything yet because we don't have enough data compiled. So you still have to evaluate and draft these smaller quarterbacks because it could possibly be that back in the day, evaluators were wrong, the same way they were wrong about mobile quarterbacks. So, you know, that's another thing to think about. And lastly, and I'll get out your way, I know I got my red ink out tonight, but the last thing, the whole draft process now is a gamed system. It's an understood game now. It's not what it was before. So I'm going to be following tape guys this year to kind of, you know, make my picks on who I want to roll with, because when you have people who specialize in training you to run a 40 and they can get you to run that 4.3, that doesn't mean that you're going to be faster now than you were on tape when they watched you all season. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because the system is gained to the point to where you're specializing in this. So now it doesn't even mean as much as, like, if this was 1982 and you just, you know, walked off the dorm room and then they threw you out there and ran the 40. That was a legit time. You didn't have time to prepare, really, and you weren't coached on how to do it. So now, you know, it's what it is. I ain't never hear the music. I know when to shut up.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was a bad 60 minutes right there. I didn't realize we were at the end of the show when we were having so much fun. So, yeah, that was definitely a fast 60 minutes there. But thank you all for tuning in to our live portion of the show. We're going to be right back at you on next Tuesday night at 11 p.m., 11 p.m. Eastern time. So we want to hear from you guys. And Philadelphia, Boston, New York, well, they got three good teams out there in the NBA. Want to hear from y'all on the East Coast, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Chicago, New Orleans, it's going to be 10 o'clock Central. Denver and Salt Lake, 9 p.m. Mountain. And next Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Los Angeles and Fresno. Good night, people. Stay tuned for the OT portion.
I said what I said. CJ going to be the best of all of them. So y'all take that for what you want to take it for, people. I appreciate y'all for listening in. My only concern is if Houston goes and gets Bryce and they have a bad offensive line, and he gets banged up, does he get the same treatment that Justin Fields got last year or 2 years ago when he didn't have enough weapons and not a good offensive line? So I'm not saying that Bryce can't be a good dude. Bryce has been phenomenal. I just worry about Bryce and his size going to the wrong situation. And I don't feel like Houston is necessarily a great situation. I love them giving him and Minshew because everybody likes to pair their quarterback with your college wide receiver. You know, it's a new trend now to kind of do that. But, you know, if he goes to Houston with a bad offensive line, you know, do they get him murdered? And that worries me about him and his size. So I agree that you said, that to your point, Naj, that you can't put it all on that because a smaller quarterback's being judged on their size. But he's going to have to go to a good situation. But it's hard to go to a good situation when somebody's picking at the top of the draft because they're picking at the top of the draft because they suck. So I don't want to see that dude get hurt either. So I just, you know, I can go a lot of ways with him. Like, I think he has all the talent. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he's a bust. I don't think he's like, you know, somebody went from, you know, there's an Andre Ware that went to a system kind of school.
Oh, wow.
And you say you knew that dude was going to be bad. Well, I'm just picking one off the top of my brain. But, you know, somebody that was just a system quarterback that gets propelled to, of course, the top of the draft, and you're like, no, he's not that guy. Like, I think Bryce Young has all the tools and everything in between the ears to make it happen. But if he goes to a bad situation where they can't protect him and they don't have a plan for him, then not only does he get hurt, then he also hurts, you know, the smaller quarterbacks behind him because, like, see, I told you, he was too small. So anybody that's along the smaller side.
I don't know. JQ, I'm going to argue with you a little bit on this one because this is where I'm very curious in what D'Amico Ryan does, right? So if what we say is true, if he brings San Francisco step to Houston, that's going to be a very interesting situation because you know how San Francisco, they're huge on the run game. They're huge on
that's getting a great offensive line.
The run. Right. It's great, but the scheme is the scheme, though. They have a good scheme then because, again, I'm with you. There's a little bit of both, right? There's some, you know, again, you have to have the right coaches in there because, again, I'm not saying that they're – You have to be like, you know, I'm thinking like the Alex Gibbs type, that whole kind of like the offensive line. There's something with that, man. So
yeah.
I'm thinking this is why I'm very curious to see what happens with D'Amico Ryan and what he gets in there because I'm with you because the old school drop back type of style, that's not going to be a thing. But the way that San Francisco, they have a unique system that makes their quarterback successful because they lean on the running game. And then there's some defense in there too. But I'm just telling you, let's see how D'Amico Ryan
puts
together because if you have. You know, that system, and you put Bryce Young, that could be a very dangerous squad. But it has to kind of – everything's got to be right. That's all I'm saying. Keep an eye on that.
No, you're both right. Yeah.
Offensive line can be a problem if it's terrible, but there's also the thing of, okay, if you know you have a bad offensive line, you have to detail the game plan to that. We ain't running nothing with double moves. We ain't running nothing with, like, you know, long step-back drops like – everything's going to be quick. It's 1-2-3 stuff, and we're going to punt because we're going to protect this kid if we got him on the field. If your organization understands that, you're ready to roll. But if you're in Chicago and you got Matt Nagy as the coach and he didn't want Justin Fields and he puts him out there in a traditional offense, you're like, man, what the hell is this? So yeah, I'm with you all on that. I think you're both right.
Yeah, but the other part of that, though, is that the defensive coaches get paid too. So if I know your offensive line sucks and you want to run this kind of thing and you're going to do that, then I'm going to make your ass punt. More often than not, because I'm going to put everybody up in the box where you can't do a double move, where you can't keep me honest. So it depends. Like, but you've got people like, you know, the Chiefs are letting Orlando Brown go. Somebody else is letting their offense, Tampa Bay is letting Donovan go. So it depends on what they also do in free agency to shore up that line.
They
so, like,
he was horrible last year.
Yeah, but I mean, true, but I agree. But I was putting out that at one point he was considered to be a really good offensive lineman. It's just the point of defensive coaches also get paid money too. So if I know your offensive line sucks and you got this dynamic young dude in here and you got a buddy last year that they got from Florida, he was really good, their running back, and you put Mitchie comes back being healthy at wide receiver, but you have nobody to protect him, and I can just load the box on you, and you can't do all these whiz-bang things that you brought from San Francisco because you don't have San Francisco's offensive line, then you still you don't get him beat up, but his numbers don't look great, and now everybody's like, Houston made a bad decision getting Bryce Young, and it may not have anything to do with Bryce Young. It's everything that's surrounding. So it's not only just him and his stature. It's also where he goes that can accentuate his positive and kind of gloss over his negatives. So, it's not even that
San Francisco's offense was that really that dynamic, really. But when you have the number one defense to fall back on, you know, that's huge. The culture that you have in San Francisco is completely different than the culture that you have in Houston. Houston, you have nothing.
Yeah.
Great. San Francisco, yeah. You have a culture of winning and being and playing competitive football and an organization around you. And by the time they get to that stage, this guy may just beat the – they may be going for another quarterback because this guy's just – he's done. He's been pounded to death. There's nothing left.
That's tough because, again, you got to understand, we've watched – I know I've watched this team that Kyle Shanahan has put here in Atlanta for a year. I'm telling you, it is a very run-friendly, quarterback-friendly situation. So, again, you know, hell, I don't sell Kyle Shanahan. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you're getting
confidence.
You're getting elements of that. So, again, we had offensive line. It wasn't like we had – now, granted, we have – you know, Alex Mack was great. We have some key pieces. But I'm telling you, it's all in who – that's why I said I'm watching the situation with who DeMeco Ryans brings in, because to make sure that coordinator is key. Because I'm telling you, that is a that scheme, it's going to help out whoever that quarterback is, because they're going to lead heavy on the run game. And, like, I get with you, Gary. Yeah, of course, that defense – yeah, number one defense, that's going to be great. But you can't say that – we saw how they ran up and down on the freaking Rams. They ran up and down on everybody, you know. Now, again, you have to throw two, but you know what shit is coming. You're like, you know it's the counter tray. You can't stop that shit, but you know what's coming. That's what type – you know, they be disguising, you know, running this left, right. You know, you're
that's the San Francisco organization. Now they're going to try it. Now they're going to try it in Houston.
Try to bring that. Yes. I know. I'm with you. I'm not saying that next
year. You see what I'm saying? There's your
if you want to be successful,
your argument.
Yeah, but when
you know,
stuff that requires physicality, that does travel. I think you can take that into another building. But I think the prime example of what we're talking about right now is Trevor Lawrence. He came in with a coach who wasn't ready to coach in the NFL, whose scheme was terrible. Trevor Lawrence was one of the highest rated guys coming out, like similar to Andrew Luck as far as his draft grade and what everybody thought of Trevor Lawrence. That first year, like JQ said, the chatter started, oh, maybe he's not good. Maybe he's this. Maybe he's that, even though everything around him was messed up. Next year, he gets a QB-friendly system that fits what he can do, and bam, Trevor Lawrence is Trevor Lawrence. So I think you see similar things across the NFL, but you have to have that. There has to be – it can't be, I want this quarterback and management wants that quarterback, and they force to my hand. Like, it has to be some type of connection between the two to where you can make that happen.
But you also gave Trevor Lawrence, ETN, and Ingram, and Christian Kirk also played really good ball for him. So they also got him in that second year and also gave him some better weapons. So it wasn't just also the coach. It was also the people that brought him around him. So I agree. It's all of that. It's all of that together. What worries me also for Brian's when we talk about Rashawn Patricia going to Houston is, man, how many of those San Francisco coaches are left, right? Like, I feel like they've all been kind of like those San Francisco and those Rams coaches have all been picked up. They all are in various places around the league. Like, is the offensive coordinator, control coordinator for San Francisco that he might bring with him? Is he really that guy? Or is he just learning from Shanahan and he ain't ready yet to do it for another team? So, you know what I'm saying? Like, they've lost a lot of pieces that he might have wanted to bring with him because there are in other places, the Miami State coach. I'm not saying it's not possible. That's not what I'm saying. I mean,
yeah,
it was just it's him and his height, but it's also his fit.
Yeah.
I think the one thing we all agree on here is all about, you know, the right vision for the player, the right coaching for the player, and putting the right personnel around them. You got to protect them, right? I think that's the one thing it sounds as though we all agree upon, and it's just going to – but, you know, you got to get in the game, right? You got to give him a guy – you got to get the right coach and give him a shot, right? So I think we'll have to wait and see how it all plays out, but it's all about the right fit. And one thing I did like about Sean Payton as a head coach, you know, anytime you brought up a negative about a player, he always told you what the player did well. And I think, you know, you have to find out what the player does well and put them in situations to do what they do well, right? And I think that's what it's going to take, the right coach for Bryce Young, right, or any player. You know, a good point about Trevor Lawrence. I think you got to identify what these players do well and then you got to put them in the situations to do what they do well.
And I think that's a good approach on Sean Payton.
Or else guys are done. Go ahead, Bob. I'm back.
No, I was just going to say, and that was one of the secrets, I think, of Sean Payton and how he coached, putting the people in the right places, not forcing them to do something, you know, that they're not good at, that they're not comfortable with. He's putting them right in there, in the best positions, whether it was on the offensive side of the ball, special teams. It seems like his teams were, as a coach, were always prepared on both offense, defense, and special teams. That's why I wanted him as our coach.
That's all right.
Yeah,
CJ can go to Indianapolis, but
it's
Jerry Jones.
It's the ability to adapt. Think about Sean Payton's system early on. They took deep shots all the time. They got, you know, like marginal SEC receivers who were really fast and around other guys who could make possession catches, the coaches of the world. And then as Brees lost his arm strength, Sean Payton said, all right, we about to short you to death. And everything was short, and that was just that. He just adapted to it.
I still say CJ going to be a monster in Indianapolis. He's going to be the best one after you're in. I said it.
Now, if the guy was from Michigan and you would have said that, I might believe you. But the guy went to Ohio State, so I'm thinking it's a little bit
odd. I said what I said. CJ going to go to Indianapolis would be a whole problem. I said what I said, and I don't want him to go to Indianapolis to be a problem because that's a problem for my Bengals. But you watch. Okay, go ahead and take Bryce. I'm going to take CJ, but that's me.
That was funny.
Hey, I got CJ going number two, so, I mean, it's okay. Like the apples and oranges. They got one going one and one going two, so they're really close.
Who would you take, Rob, of those two quarterbacks? Who would you take long-term?
That's a tough one. I mean, right now I got Bryce going one and I got CJ going number two.
He
answered your question.
I'm asking you what you would take.
Today I would take Bryce. Next week I might tell you I might take CJ.
I take CJ.
Thank you.
You know what's interesting how these quarterbacks are so opposite? Like you said, Rob, you can kind of pick and choose. Like, there's always something you can pick at. You have Bryce Young that has just this amazing accuracy, right, coming out of – and then the fact he played at Alabama against SEC talent, right? And then you have Anthony Richardson that has all the talent, but he looked terrible. Now, again, I know, guys, nothing against you, bro. I know you love the project with Anthony Richardson, you know, but then you had CJ that's just played well and just, you know, he has the look of, you know, this guy's six, you know, just a great-looking quarterback, man. So, again, that's – you have just an interesting kind of vibe as far as, you know, kind of flavors for the quarterback position too, so – I'm excited, man, to see how these guys play out, too, man.
But you know what's crazy is we talk about Anthony Richardson like he didn't go to Florida, where Florida was still getting 4- and 5-star recruits. This wasn't like, here's my thing. If people wanted to make the conversation for Will Levis and say, man, he went to Kentucky. Yeah, we know the Stoops is trying to do with Kentucky, but Kentucky's still a basketball school. He's getting 3-star dudes trying to make him 4- and 5-stars. And you want to make that argument for him? I can almost understand that. But Anthony Richardson, phenomenal physical talent. We'll never take that away from him.
Yeah.
But he had a whole bunch of talent around him at Florida. And I've watched Florida play and seen him make throws and was like, bro, what are you doing? And I just, if I make that statement with you at Florida with all that talent, why do I feel like things are going to just change with a snap of a finger because you go to an NFL team? That's my problem overall with Anthony Richardson. And it has nothing to do with his physical capabilities. He has all the physical capabilities. Never take that away from him. But I've seen him play living here in the South, not wanting to watch Florida play, but Florida was on the SEC because it matters more here because it's the SEC and they're going to be on at 3:30 on CBS. And I've seen Florida play more than I wanted to see Florida play. And I was just like, he has physical ability, but he should be leading this team with all this talent to a far further, better, greater destination than they are getting to every year with him as a starting quarterback.
Who was the coach at Florida,
I
want to
piggyback on C.J. Stroud here. Going back to C.J. Stroud here, do we remember C.J. Stroud's first year starting at Ohio State and how much did J.Q. bash him as a quarterback?
Can we have those
sound bites for next week's show?
But there's something about growth. You watch them play against that Georgia team that just dismantled TCU, and you watch them play against all these dudes that are ready to come out in the first or second round from that Georgia defense, and he came down to a missed field goal at the end, and we all said that semifinal was the national championship game. And of course, he has Walker Harrison Jr., but most good quarterbacks have a decent wide receiver, and I will give you that as well. But he made throws and made plays with his feet and his arm in that game where you were like, okay, that was the most complete game I've seen him play ever at Ohio State, and if he's going to take that – with his learning, his growth into the NFL, I feel better about him going into the NFL than I do Anthony Richardson. I will say that about that. I agree with that. I hate it when he first got there.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. You're not taking your team with you.
You're
not taking your scheme with you.
We still have
another number
two.
No, I own it. I hated CJ Stroud. I own it. I did not like CJ Stroud when he first got to Ohio State.
But definitely,
I own it. You're right.
Quarterback in a draft.
Naj did have a point. Naj had a point. Go ahead, Naj. You were talking about he's not taking the scheme. He's not taking his coaching staff. He's got a whole new one. But the ability to grow from point A, you know, to point C or wherever he's at now, you know, is was remarkable. So. You know, he's going in the league. He's going to go high, and I think he's going to be a better quarterback and a more durable quarterback.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to see, man. But, again, you're not taking anything with you. You're walking in there by yourself, and they got to figure out the best way to use you. We'll see. Like, Richardson, yeah, he has some bad tape. So what? Doesn't matter. The measurables outweigh the tape, so you give it a shot. Stroud, I got no problem with him, but we do got to say – that Ohio State wide receiver factory that had two guys who were up for offensive player of the year last year, offensive rookie of the year
last
year.
That's true.
Like, bro, they were loaded. Like, you had no problems out there. So, you know, there's a lot to be said about all of that. Will Levis, well, the reason he was at Kentucky is because he got beat out for a job. Where was it, Penn State or what school was it? He got beat out for a job. It was a guy he couldn't pass up on the depth chart. So he didn't just land at Kentucky. So, you know what I mean? There's warts on everybody, like Rob said earlier. So, ultimately, it's the draft, brother. You're going to find a bunch of negatives. But you better look for the positives and figure out if you can run it. That's it. Like, that's the gig as a GM or a talent evaluator or whatever. That's what it is. Nobody's coming in there a perfect prospect.
Okay. You're right. And I'll leave it at this, and I'll let you have it, Dre. When that dude said I started calling myself Cam Jackson – in high school, I start calling myself Cam Jackson because I'm the new age Cam Newton and Lamar Jackson. I said, come on, Anthony Richardson. Listen, if somebody else call you Cam Jackson and your homeboys, other people, and that catch fire, I'll give you that. When you look in the mirror and say, yeah, bro, I'm Cam Jackson. And you go out there and you go 7-6 and that shit, like, man, listen, you lost me at hello with
JQ,
that conversation.
We just old, JQ. That kid grew up playing Madden watching those guys. We old, man. That's all that is.
You know what? I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
Cam Jackson.
Yeah, when I read that, I said, come on, Anthony Richardson, man. Yeah. You can't call yourself Cam Jackson. I'm at least your coach. Or your homeboys call you that. He said, man, I called myself Cam Jackson. I said, okay. I can't deal with Anthony Richardson right now.
That's not cool.
I have to wrap up the show. Myself Magic Jordan. Okay.
New confident in his abilities.
He was neither Magic
Jordan. Wow.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah, that's true. You can call yourself all those type of names. Yeah, I agree with you. Somebody else should be giving you nicknames. Rob, pick a topic. Let's wrap this show up for the night. Call it a day. Call it a day, man. Pick your last topic. Everyone can say what you want to say for the topic. We can go for that. We wrap up the show. Rob,
yeah, I'm good. Go ahead.
Pick a topic. Wow. All right. Somebody else go
before me.
Okay. I'm going to go first. I'll go, and I'll be quick. Come on, Joe Mixon. Listen, I don't know exactly what's happening with Joe Mixon and why all of a sudden the – punchy chick Joe Mixon has showed up in Cincinnati where he's just showing guns and shooting out of his house and he's slapping chicks down there at Fountain Square in Cincinnati. I don't know what's happening. It seems real coincidental that they made this run and they're talking about moving on from him, that all these things have come up. I would love to hear some more about it, but come on, Joe. Don't put yourself in that situation. Joe is getting there to either have to take a Zeke pay cut or he gone from Cincinnati. And I hate it because he was – him and Tyler Boyd were one of the first ones to get there in the rebuild that wanted to be Cincinnati Bengals and embrace it and say, hey, I'm going to be here to help turn this around. But, man, you know, it ain't John Morant bad, but, bro, you got too much happening right now where they're talking about letting you go, where these things keep cropping up in your name at your house and all associated with you and your people. I just don't like it. I don't know if it's all true or not with Joe Mixon, but it's not a good look, Joe. You got to do better, bro.
Well, the one thing I'll talk about is I'll talk about the Zags tonight. The Zags, you know, they won their game tonight. They played St. Mary's. Hey, you know, that team is, yeah, they beat them up. They beat them pretty bad. You know, they met St. Mary's in the finals there 13 times. And in the last five, they've won, you know, the Zags have won the last five out of six times. But the Zags have had 16 seasons, consecutive seasons, where they've won 25 games or more. So hats off to them. I was talking before the show about Drew Timmy with Andre, and I think he's going to be nothing more than, you know, I think he'll make an NBA team, but he'll be nothing more than just a role player for an NBA team. He's just too slow, you know, but he'll make an NBA roster. Can't jump and he's too slow, but he's fundamentally sound.
Right now. Yeah, he projects as a second-round draft pick right now. The dude seems like he's been playing in college basketball forever, man. Can they check his eligibility? I mean, this dude seems like he's like 36, 37 years old by now. But he seems like he's been playing
man,
in Chicago forever.
Y'all got to get off Timmy. I like
this
Timmy.
This is his ninth season with the Zags.
He's
a slow learner.
Listen, Draymond Green was also a second-round pick, right?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, my God.
I look at him like Luka Garza, man. Luka Garza's going a couple of rosters, still on the NBA roster now, playing G League. But a guy like that, man, dude, if you really carve that role out, you play 10 years and get a pension. Ain't no shame
in
that.
Nope.
Yeah, no shame in that. Hey, my topic, I'm going to go over the I know we're kind of in March right now in the NCAA tournament, so I'm going to go over the top six teams. Right now I got UCLA playing the best basketball in the country right now, and they're playing lights out. They're a veteran ball club, Tyler Campbell, Yamez Arquez, Jr., playing lights out, and they're a tough physical team, too. You got to give Mick Cronin a lot of credit. I mean, they come out and they're playing street ball on it. Yeah. He going to what?
Yep. He going to fold.
Oh, you're going to fold. You never know.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, right now, and it's, they're a veteran team, and they're playing like a veteran team, which is really disheartening for my North Carolina Tar Heels, man. Got four or five starters back, veteran team, and they have just totally underachieved this year. But you see a team like UCLA getting the job done with their vets and with a nice mix of some young players, too. So they're a team to watch. I got them number one right now. Houston. It's another team that's they're just loaded with Walker, Jamal Shedd, and that team, a couple of guys.
That's my number
high
one.
Assistant coaches. Yeah, so I mean, and they're playing lights out defense. So you got to give Kelvin Sampson and that team a lot of credit. Number three, I got Purdue, Zach Edey, and a bunch of shooters. It's going to keep them in the game. Number four, I got Texas. I mean, Tyrese Hunter, man, he's really come on in his guard play for Texas. And they have some bigs, too, that can play. I got Kansas at number five and Grady Dick. And number six, I got Alabama and Brandon
Alabama,
Miller.
Alabama, baby.
I know he and Brandon Miller got in a possible situation, too, so we'll see how that turns out.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah.
He's going to go out there and show his complete ass. I'm going with Alabama.
There he is. Nice.
Yeah, all those teams are good.
Yeah, it looked like a Carmelo type tournament from that kid.
Yes, that's all you need. Listen, he gonna take all that shit people talking about and go out there, act a complete asshole in the tournament.
Yeah, he gonna kill him. But if Edie don't get in foul trouble, I don't know what you do with Purdue, man. That is a problem. And just get it out the way. My thing would be Ja, bro. I think we forget that everybody can't handle being famous. I think this dude took on an on-court persona, got lost in it, and took it into his real life. And now you don't know, what I'm saying? Like, he's having an identity crisis. So hope this intervention works. We'll probably see him next season. But, yeah, man, fame ain't for everybody. Everybody cannot handle it. And I think we saw that with that kid, man. Sad.
I hope nobody puts your future bet on Memphis because they ain't going to get it done. They done. Done.
Yeah, it's very sad to see that. And, I mean, I'm not a Memphis Grizzly fan or anything, but we're hoping that, he recovers from this some kind of way and then gets the help that he needs,
Well, I ain't going to say that. I don't like Dylan Brooks. He's an asshole. No, I'm sorry. I don't mean to say about John Morant. I hate Dylan Brooks. He's a dickhead. And I don't want to see him succeed in nothing. So I hope that he don't have John Morant to ride his coattails.
Why Dylan Brooks?
I said what I said. I don't like Dylan Brooks, bro. He's an idiot. And he can do that when he has John Morant out there to be the face of it, and he can do all that foolishness in the background. Without John Morant, he's going to get exposed, and I'm here for it.
Hey, man, the saddest part about that is the unearned confidence of Dylan Brooks. Bro, he about to shoot about 20 times a game. But he's like, I'll save everything.
Do it. Do that shit.
Yeah.
Do it. You better get the ball to Desmond Bain and tell him to stand down. But he ain't going to do that because he's Dylan Brooks. I do not like Dylan Brooks at all, bro. He ain't going to do it at all.
Dylan Brooks, man. Apparently JQ must have history.
Jaw or Jackson would be hot if Brooks would come down and shoot 3 threes in a row. Looking off everything.
Mm-hmm.
His confidence is amazing for such a marginal player.
It's ridiculous. I have to walk around like Stone Cold Steve Austin. I hope Dylan Brooks gets at home early.
Yeah, John Morant and Memphis falling out of grace. I think the Western Conference is looking like a 14 race right now. You got Denver Nuggets, Phoenix Suns, Golden State. I think they're going to be right back in that hunt. And then you got to talk about the Clippers, too. I think those are the four teams that have the players, that have the personnel, that probably can compete in the Western Conference.
What is he, Dodge? What is it about Paul George? You got a retractable shoulder blade? That's what he said. I forgot. I ain't going to never let that shit go. He said, that dude said he had a retractable shoulder blade. Listen, as long as they get Russell Westbrook playing heavy minutes, they done.
Wow. He's a choker artist, too, so that's fine.
Sacramento team playing well, too.
I like that Sacramento team.
Yep.
I like him a lot.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This is fool's gold time.
Got it together. Yep. Just going to really quickly talk about Brock Purdy. He had the surgery postponed because there's been swelling. I'm curious what happens with the 49ers because, obviously Lance – is coming back. They're expecting Brock to make a full recovery by training camp. But, again, we'll see how that plays out. So we'll keep an eye on that quarterback situation. Definitely think the 49ers are going to, we'll see if they re-sign Jimmy, which we're still not sure about that. I know JQ loves Garoppolo, but they get a veteran quarterback, man. So
they're not going to be. The only way Jimmy will be there is if nobody picks him up.
When the coach come out and says that he won't be back next year, he won't be back next year. So, Sam has pretty much already said that.
He keeps trying to come back. Sneak his way back in the building. Hey, man, I still got your playbook.
Listen,
I think when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo, right now, I think the top choices, I could see him winding up with the Raiders. They miss on Aaron Rodgers, which it looked like they will. Or I could see him with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, obviously, Josh McDaniels puts him in the lineage, so there's somewhat of a relationship there. So I would say Raiders number one. I would say Tampa Bay number two right now for where Jimmy Garoppolo is going to wind up.
Or the Jets, if they don't get Rodgers. Yeah, that's San Francisco. I'm going to say
the Jets get Aaron Rodgers. I think that's where you're going to want him going.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's great. That's a great move.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's like having an older Zach Wilson. Go for it.
There's like a prima donna going to New York. That's going to be interesting.
It is. All right, gentlemen.
Don't they have any dark places for him to crash out?
Yeah, it's called the Bronx.
Several in New York.
Several
in New York.
There's plenty of alleys there for him to duck into.
100%.
Queens. Yep. Bring him over across the river, across the Hudson River. Bring him over across the Hudson River to Jersey City.
He'd be out there in Yonkers with the locks. Hanging out.
As sensitive as he is, he loses a few games, they're going to eat him up.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm here for it.
And hey, Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets, and they're still behind the Chiefs. They're still behind the Bengals. They're still behind the Bills. I can go on and on. How many teams in the AFC is still going to be better than the Jets, even with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback?
J-E-T-S, Jets. I'm sorry. I'm going to bed.
All right, gentlemen. Have a good rest of your evening, and we'll see you next time, same time, next week.
All right, good night, gentlemen. Good night.
Talk to y'all. Later.
Good night, peeps.